Just love the presence of God. I was asking the Lord sometimes when I get in the presence of God, I just ask him, like, Lord, where are you? I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are right now. He's like, I'm in your midst. I'm standing beside you. And what he showed me was he was standing beside each one of you. And he says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there. And there's some of you who are standing for something. You're believing God for something. And he's right beside you. He's right beside you, and he's in agreement with you, and all he's wanting you to do is to trust him. Father, I thank you so much for your presence. I thank you for every person that's here tonight, and I thank you that you know their hearts, you know their desires, you know their prayers, their requests, their needs. And I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint my words tonight to minister what you have shown me, Lord, in clarity and understanding and wisdom, so they can walk out of here, Lord, and never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who was here to hear Dwayne's message Sunday? I'm like, honey, you're kind of like stealing my thunder. I mean, some of the stuff that he's preaching, it's so awesome because it's almost like we're tag teaming, and he doesn't tell me what he's going to preach, and I don't tell him what I'm going to teach. And it's so cool when I was listening to him Sunday, I was like, oh my gosh. But God reminded me of that scripture in 1 Corinthians 3. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but it says that Paul says, I plant and Apollos may water, but it is God who gives increase. So Dwayne planted, and he probably was watering seeds that have already been planted, and then I'm going to water some seeds that he planted. But what's so awesome is that I don't have to bring increase into your life. Hallelujah. I don't have to be responsible for bringing increase in your life. All I have to be responsible for is planting seed or watering seed that you have already have in your heart. And then guess what? God brings increase. So aren't you grateful that you're in church tonight? Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that he has not forsaken us, that he is always with us. So last week, I don't know who wasn't here last week. Last Wednesday, I preached about the obstacles of grace, of faith. And I don't really have time to review because I have pages and pages of stuff here. And I even have my notes from Sunday because some of the stuff that Dwayne said is just like, I'm not even going to rewrite it. I'm just going to read it straight out of my notes. But tonight I'm talking about the trust factor. And I just want to read some of the things that I've written down because I really feel like they're from the Lord and I don't want to mess it up. And honey, just keep a watch on me, okay? Just give me the signal or whatever because I don't want to go long. But I want to be concise and I want to hopefully not chase rabbits and really help you to understand what the Lord's showing me about the trust factor. So one of the things that he showed me is just for you to imagine for a moment that you are God and that you're looking at the rest of all of us on the earth. And you see someone who is not sure how everything works out, but they are really going for it. Okay? They're putting their trust in you, what you've said, because you're God. And that they're passionate about it, and that they have an expectation that what you said is true. You're God. Okay, you get to put yourself in God's place for just a second. And you're looking at me, and you're saying, wow, Tracy really has an expectation in what I've said. And I really have a desire to fulfill that for her. Wouldn't you want to do everything that you could to help that come to pass for me, if I really am, believing in you? If I'm God and I'm looking at you, Emmy, and I see your faithfulness to trust me no matter what you see, and that the dreams and the desires that you have in your heart are according to me of what I've already told you, don't you think that I'm going to do everything on my part to make sure that that comes to pass for you? The dreams that you have in your heart, the things that you haven't even told God about, that you haven't even verbalized. They're just sitting in your heart that you haven't even verbalized them. God knows what they are, but you haven't verbalized them. I mean, even, you know, that scripture that says, if you being, you know, you're a father. Okay, let me just go there. Let's just look there because I'm going to stay on task with my scriptures. Luke 11:11. It says, if a son shall ask for bread. Oh, this translation is horrible. I'm not going there. Okay, hold on. I got to get in this one that I really know. Luke 11:11. I know you've heard this. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I think, you know, the Holy Spirit, when he gives you the Holy Spirit, he has sealed you with himself. He has given you a God part of him. He wants you to be like him. He wants you to be a creator like him. And so there's this word that keeps going off in my head, deliberate creator, deliberate creation. And so when we doubt, one of the obstacles of faith is doubting that God really means what he says. So one of the scriptures that, well, actually, when Dwayne said, you have to trust, or you have to believe in the one making the promise. You have to trust the one who's making the promise that it's true. And I think a lot of times we get tripped up thinking that what I want isn't relevant to God or godliness or, you know what I'm saying? It's like we put our desires in a box and say, well, maybe God doesn't want to answer that prayer, right? But it says, whatsoever things you desire, it doesn't limit it. It says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. It says whatsoever. Now let me ask you a question. I was just thinking about this because I talked about Peter walking on the water, you know. Was it necessary that Peter walk on the water? Was there any reason, a need for him to walk on the water? Right? There was no need for him to. Right? Jesus just said, yeah, come on. Right? And so a lot of times I think that we are afraid to believe God for something because we think it's not really necessary. It's not really, you know what I'm saying? It's just something I want. It's just something I desire. But he said, whatever you desire. I mean, when he cursed the fig tree, what was the big deal about that? Was that necessary? No. But with everything that Jesus did, he's showing you something. He's showing you something about himself. One of the other ones I probably didn't write it down, was I was thinking about was when Jesus' mom came to him about changing the water. I mean, about the wine thing. Was that necessary? Was it necessary for them to have more wine at the wedding? Maybe to save the face of the father of the bride, whoever was supposed to have more wine, but it wasn't necessary. There wasn't, you know what I'm saying? It was superfluous, if you want to say. But Jesus did it. And what I want you to know is that Jesus wants to do it in your life. God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to fulfill your desires. He wants you to have what you want. But what we allow is we allow things to get in our way. Obstacles, the waves. Peter looked at the waves. He was walking on water, but then he looked at the obstacle. An obstacle is something that gets in the way. And so if you don't know the person that you're trusting, then it's going to be awfully hard to believe him for anything in his word. It's going to be hard to be a creator like he is and speak something forth and have it come to pass. So what have we been doing ever since, you know, we came to Living Waters Church? We have been learning how to believe and stand on the word of God. You pray the word. We have a book called Praying the Word. And so when you can get in agreement with what God says about his word, you may have doubt about it coming to pass. And as long as you have doubt about it coming to pass, guess what's going to happen? It's not going to come to pass. So whether you're believing God, like Dwayne was talking about, you can plant a tomato seed and have it come up rather quickly. You can plant an acorn and it will take years. Sometimes the things that we commit to God or that we're believing for have more maturity time, right? We can't limit God in how it should come to pass. And I think that that's where we get in trouble, is because we want to figure out how. And we often want to tell God how to do it. Like we know best, right? Like when you're believing God for your children. And there's so many great scriptures about your kids and standing and believing for them. And so we still stand and believe. Okay, let me look. Let me read this real quick. What if you took on the belief that God is working on your behalf and he's working for you to actually help you if you're willing to trust the process? To know that Philippians 2:13 says, I believe it's 2:13, it says, it is God who is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure. And if you believe that God is working in your life, that he's not, doesn't have a bat, he doesn't have the ruler to smack your hand, God is working. Is that what it says? It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God has good pleasure intention towards you. It's how much do you trust him to leave it to him? And you know that scripture that says, Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, to cast your bread upon the water, and after many days it will come back to you. And so what I want you to picture it like is when you're praying for something or you're believing God for something, is that instead of looking at the waves and allowing that to be an obstacle, believe that you have cast it out on the water and that it will come back to you after many days. Now, I know just listening to Scott talking about fish the other day, I realized that to have different fish come in, you need a different wave, you need different tides, you need, right, to come in. So a lot of times it's all in timing. And you have to know the person that you are trusting to know that the timing, that you trust him. Because what God wants you to see is the final result. The bottom line is God wants you to have a picture on the inside of you. The blueprint is, this is the final result. This is my desire. And then you can't waver from that. So when I have, when I'm believing God for scripture for my children, and I don't see what that scripture says, I don't look at the wave. I'm not looking at him, the obstacle. We don't walk by faith, right? I mean, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. So our faith is what paints the picture for the finished picture of what God has promised me about my sons. I have a picture on the inside of me. So what I see does not move me. It's temporal and subject to change, according to 2 Corinthians 4:18. I have a completed picture on the inside of me. I trust the one who made the promise. Now, there's other things that I'm not so steady about. But since my children were in vitro, I was starting to read scriptures. I'm like, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I have to have you. I can't do this. I don't want to be a mother. I don't want to be a parent. How on earth? So I decided I would use his principles. You know, God of the universe, surely, you know, he's got some wisdom. So I decided I was going to, that Dwayne and I were going to raise our children the way God said to raise them. And that we would stand on his word for every promise concerning our children. I see some of them coming to pass, and some of them I'm still waiting for. But all I'm doing is looking out there for the wave to return to me. I'm not looking at the wave as an obstacle saying, well, God, you said, but God. Now, have I ever done that? Oh, absolutely. Yes. But every time you have a victory and you see something, I've got a notebook full of different things, just keeping track of the things that we've been believing God for. And when it comes to pass, I write it down. Because that's something that I can go back on and say, you're faithful. You did it for this. You're going to do it for this. I don't have anything coming to my mind right now, but James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. So if you know the person that you're trusting in, it says that it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. So everything that you find in here is possible because God said it. And remember he said to Mary when she says, how am I going to conceive a child since I have never known a man? And he says, it's impossible with man. You can't. You can't have a baby without a man and woman coming together. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He didn't just say being able to have a baby with that. He didn't say that, right? Not that one thing. He said all things. What does all mean? It means all. Everything is possible with God. So when you have God as a partner and you're looking to him, that's where the trust comes in. So you have to know the person. You have to know the person. Okay. How do we know we can trust that God is on our side and will always work for us and not against us? His word is designed to work in your favor. His word is designed to work in your favor. You know, I think I probably have used the scripture before, but look at Psalms, I think it's Psalm 72. It just comes to my mind. You know, the children of Israel, they were messed up, but we're all messed up. No, it's 78. I'm sorry, 78. They're human, okay? So the Bible says that there's no temptation that's overtaken man, but that's common to man. But God is able, you know, to provide a way of escape. And God's desire is for us to know him. And he wants relationship with us. Okay? So when you read this, Psalm 78, it's all about the children of Israel and their stubbornness and all of this, which we're all subject to. But God is so faithful. In verse 38, actually go to verse 37. It says, their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many times he turned his anger away. Okay, this is old covenant. This is old stuff. Many times he turned his anger away and did not stir up his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Now this is the deal. Verse 40. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God Almighty because they would not believe. Go down, it says, verse 42. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. They did not remember his power. Do you understand that God was not upset with them because they were sinning against him? He was upset because they did not believe him. Even after he had delivered them with all the booty, right? They left with everything. He delivered them in beautiful fashion and allowed them to walk for 40 days. Their clothes never wore out. Shoes never wore out. They always had food. And then a rock that followed them and gave them water everywhere that they went. Yet, they did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. All God wanted them to do was look to him as their deliverer, as their provider, as their whatever they needed. And it's still the same today. Jesus came and walked on the earth to show us, this is what I look like. This is what I'm looking for. I want a relationship with you. It's all about having a relationship and walking with him. He says, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you, but we walk around like we are orphans. Not that he's right here with us. Sherry, I saw while I was praying that Jesus is standing beside you and he's in agreement with you. And for whatever you're standing and believing for, I saw him standing right there with you. He's had his arm around you here. And all he's wanting you to do is just focus on him. Don't let any obstacle come in your way. Don't let anything keep you off of whatever you're believing for. I have no idea what it is, but whatever the obstacle is, you just look to Jesus. He's got an answer, and it is coming, and it's you can't figure it out. He does exceedingly abundantly above what we can think, ask, or imagine, and all he's wanting for you to do is to just focus on him. I trust you. I trust you. And when you can't figure it out, why do we want to figure it out? What is it about us? It's human nature. I want to figure it out, how it's going to work out. Why can't we find rest? Isn't that what God wanted for these children? He just wanted them to find a place of rest. He says, I've prepared a land for you that is so amazing. I mean, you're going to go in and you're going to take it. I'm going to give you the strength to go in and take it. And you're going to just have a land flowing with milk and honey, right? They couldn't believe it. Did you see the giants in the land? Oh my gosh. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They did not regard God. We do not regard God in our lives. I mean, there's areas where you're going along really, really good, and then there's other areas where you're like, oh man, why did I allow that obstacle? Because what do obstacles do? They get in the way and they hinder things from coming to pass, right? When I was watching, it's an old movie, and I can't remember, I think it's called Message in a Bottle. And anyway, the guy is writing notes to his wife who died, and he's putting the notes to her in this bottle, okay? So he throws this bottle out. So when you're casting your cares on God and you're praying to God and you're throwing them out there on the water, they're not going to come back to you right there. That bottle that guy threw came back to some other shore, some other way. And he ended up getting his answer that came about in a way that is so unbelievable. And God, I would say God, I mean, I put God into the movies, that he just was able to minister to this man. It was so beautiful. And I was like, oh God, you're so awesome. But that was the thing. It's like, he cast that bottle out there without an expectation of how it was going to come back to him. And that's what we have to do. We can't have it all figured out. We don't have to say point one, two, three. Let God take care of the one, two, threes. You paint the picture like a blueprint of what it's supposed to look like. Whether it's your marriage, whether it's your finances, your children, your future, your family. God says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. And that means it's a done deal. That means you've already received it on the inside of you. I know what my children look like on the inside of me. There's other things that I'm still, you know how when you, I can imagine, I've never done blueprints. Dwayne and I wrote blueprints on a piece of cardboard. Literally, he could not get me to sit down and focus enough time to do our house plans. So we sat down. He sat down one day. He grabbed a piece of cardboard from a box. Am I lying about this? And he said, "We are going to draw the plans for our house." Okay. I'm like, okay, I have no idea really what I want. I didn't have the blueprint for it on the inside of me of what I really wanted. So I'm like, okay, well, these are the things I know I do want. That's what we did first. We drew it out of the things I knew for certain that I wanted. Then we had, fortunately, he used a pencil. He's a smart man. So fortunately, he uses a pencil, and so we're talking about it and thinking about the logistics of everything, and he's like, "Are you sure you want it this way?" I'm like, "No, I'm not certain of anything. I don't know what I want." He says, "Well, you need to figure out what you want because I'm building you a house." So it's like, okay. So finally we did get the house built, but in the midst of it all, because of the way things were drawn out and erased and drawn out, there were some misunderstandings. And they were kind of doozies, weren't they? But the bottom line is that when you aren't fully convinced of that, of what the end result is, it's okay to go back and say, it has to be a desire that you're so convinced that it's done, that it's not even a part of your thoughts anymore. You've committed it to the one who's working on it, right? So if we drew the plans and everything, and then we gave them to somebody else and said, "Here's our house, you know, you go build it," I'd be like, "Thank you, Lord." Well, Dwayne happened to not be in the house one day when a pretty serious decision needed to be made in our bathroom. I just made an executive decision, and it was wrong because of the plumbing. But they did it anyway because he wasn't there to say no at the time, and so they did it. And so I have a scar on the floor that shows that I should have waited and submitted and talked to him first. I really like the way it is, though. I really like the way it's set up, and I love my bathroom. But there's a little reminder on the floor. So my point, let's see. Let me go back to my notes here really quick. Do you remember the story about the centurion soldier? We probably should go there. Matthew 8:7. Honey, you're not going to let me chase too many rabbits here. The Lord brought this to my mind, and I hope that this can make sense. But does everyone know the story about the centurion soldier who came to Jesus and said, "My servant's sick. He's dying." Let's see. Okay, verse 5. "Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.'" Praise God. "The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" All he said was, "Speak the word, and it will be done," because he understood authority. Well, what was Jesus speaking to? What was Jesus using? Because whatever Jesus did, he expects us to do too. Okay, now go to Luke 17:5. Oh my gosh, this is so good. Okay. Okay, in verse 17, verse 5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Well, the reason why they were asking for him to increase their faith was because he was talking about forgiving people. And forgiving 70 times 7, that meant every day. And they couldn't grab a hold, they could not wrap their brain around it. And so they said, increase our faith. So he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up and be by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Okay, this is the part I want you to get right here. This is going to go along with the centurion thing, okay? Which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, the servant, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do so. Okay, that's irrelevant to what I'm trying to, my point. My point is that the centurion recognized that Jesus was a man of authority. All he had to do was say it. Okay? Now, in this scripture, it's saying, how many of you who has a servant, so let's say our servant is Faith. That's the name of our servant. How many of you, it says, would you rather not say to him, you prepare something for my supper, so you're commanding the servant to do what you want it to do, what you want him to do, right? And it says, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drank, and afterwards you will eat. Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Faith is your servant. Faith is you commanding. Faith is your servant. And you say, you command faith to do what you want. You command your servant to go and plow. You command your servant to go and fix a meal. That's your expectation in a servant. And that's what the centurion got. He's like, I understand. When I give a word, when I say something, my servants do it. The people under me, they do it. And Jesus is telling his disciples right here, you want me to increase your faith? This is what faith is. Faith is your servant. It does what you tell it to do. Does that make sense? I'm like, oh my gosh. I can really have to wrap my brain around that. I mean, I just got that today when I was praying in the Holy Ghost. This story about the centurion. I'm like, okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I know that story. Okay. And then he tells me the story about the servant. Okay. Let me go back to my notes here real quick. Let's see. Okay. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this all today. Okay, if you really think about it, you cannot fail to have your prayers answered. You will always have your desires answered, but it will be in direct proportion to your ability to let go and trust the natural process that God has set into motion through his word. Okay, so there's a natural process to things happening. Even healing in your body, right? It takes time. Unless it's a miracle, healing is going to take time. You don't put the timetable on it. You're trusting God. He's working in your life to willing to do his good pleasure, right? And his good pleasure is that you be healed. His good pleasure, the Bible says that he delights in the prosperity of his servants. He wants you to have money. So that's okay. I'm getting ahead of myself. I feel like I'm just being rushed and I'm running out of time. Abraham in Romans 4 is a perfect example of how God wants us to be. Because he had nothing except a promise from God. He had no proof in his body. All he had was a dream on the inside of his heart. He wanted a son. He just wanted a son. So the whole chapter of Romans 4 is great, but I just want to start in verse 17. And it says, As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Abraham did that. Because, you know, it says, okay, who contrary to hope in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. So who was he considering? He had the trust factor going on. He knew God. God said it. Now, did he have obstacles? He did. And there was a definite process in this coming to pass. But he counted God as faithful. Okay. He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was already almost 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. I can't tell you, I've got that written down in every notebook I have. Standing and believing God. Do not waver at the promise. But the bottom line is you have to be fully convinced that he who promised is also able to bring it to pass. If you have a promise and you don't trust that God's going to bring it to pass, guess what happened to your promise? It's dead. Just like Abraham's body. But once Sarah heard it too, and you know, Duane's preached that, Sarah didn't hear the promise, only Abraham, and then Abraham told Sarah. Well, apparently her trust factor in Abraham wasn't that great because she's like, well, this is how it's going to happen. I'm going to figure it out. This is the how, this is the when, and this is what's going to happen. And she screwed up. Abraham screwed up. That wasn't the plan. But once she heard it, you know, she was sitting inside the tent and she heard what the angel said to Abraham. This time next year, Sarah's going to have a baby. And she laughed. And he said, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. And he's like, oh, you laughed. But what happened? She heard it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Sarah heard it, and then after that, guess what happened? She had a baby. Do not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but you're strengthened in your faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? So the trust factor is basically what my husband preached. I'm going to just flip over here really quick. I thought it was further than that. Judge Jesus able to perform what he has promised. I mean, really, he said it in a nutshell, and I go on for however long. The trust factor is believing that Jesus and having a relationship with him and trusting that what he promised, he's also able to bring it to pass without having to figure it out and know how it's, you know the end result, and that's all you have to worry about. God says, you just... When he was talking to Abraham, he's like, all I want you to do is go out and look at the stars, and all I want you to do is go look at the sand, because that's how many descendants you're going to have. That's all I want you to focus on. You don't look at your body, you don't look at Sarah, you don't look at how it's going to come to pass, you don't look at... That's what I'm going to do with you. And so he did that, and it was counted him as righteousness, and the promise came to pass. And that's how it, God wants it in every single one of our lives. Abraham is our example. As a man under faith. Okay. I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Whew, Lord, I just thank you for your word, that it's living and powerful and active, and that it's going to go forth into the hearts as seeds planted, Father, and watered. And I thank you that you are the one who brings increase in each one of our lives. And I just thank you for your word. I thank you for every person that's here. I ask you just to get them all home safely, give your angels charge over them, and keep all your animals off the road, and just hedge them behind them before and lay your hand upon them and speak to and minister to them, and just let them each wake up with a song in their heart, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.